To Ephesians chapter 1, we have a little handout here tonight, and we'll continue our series on the New Testament church. And as we look at Ephesians chapter 1, we find a very important truth about the church. And the fact is that many of these truths about the church are lost when people start applying them to the so-called universal church, and they lose the meaning of the New Testament. They lose the meaning of New Testament church, and we're trying to spend some time to recover what the Bible really says. Ephesians chapter 1, it says, and of course the whole context is much larger, but and the Bible says in verse 22, "And hath put all things under his feet." That's God hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head, that's Jesus, over all things to the church. Gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Now, of course, one of the Baptist distinctives is that the Bible is the sole authority of faith and practice in the New Testament church. Certainly that certainly applies here. We want to talk about this idea of Jesus as the head of the New Testament church. The fact is that we first of all need to recognize that Jesus is not just a figurehead. He is just not a figurehead. This, many people can say, "Oh, Jesus is the head of the church. Okay, great." But it means nothing. It's just a title. It's just like me before I was saved. I was in catechism and they said, "Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ?" Oh, I said, "Sure." But it was just words. I'd never personally invited Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life, but I said I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was just words. Jesus is the actual head of the New Testament church. He is not the figurehead. Not the figurehead. A figurehead is a person who's a head in name, but not in actuality. But what does it mean to be the head? What does it mean to be the head in all things to the church? Well, obviously, you could say a lot of different things. He is head of, he is the authority. He is the boss. He is the Lord. He runs everything. Just like you have a head on your body, and all your nervous system runs up through your head. Everything has to go through your head. You don't do anything that doesn't go through your head. Cut your head off. That's it. So Jesus is the head. Okay? So how is he the head? Number two, he is the head by obedience. Jesus establishes the reality of his headship through the Bible. Through the Bible. You can say he's the head, but the reality of his headship is the commands that are given in the Bible. The truth that he has taught in the Bible. The government of the church that he has taught in the Bible. Everything as he has said in the Bible is the issue that is involved if he is the head. Headship has to do with his actually being the head. So Jesus establishes the reality of his headship through the Bible. Through the Bible. Now, there's a lot of churches that have the name Bible in them, but they only obey part of the Bible. It's just a word that attracts people to it, but it isn't true. Now, so in the Bible, we have all his commands and all his teachings. All right, in the Bible. The church is a place where all his commands are taught, but also all his commands are taught to be obeyed. Matthew chapter 28. verse 20. These baptized disciples, what does it say? And we'll get to that word disciple in a minute. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's the church. Okay, it takes two things. See, without knowledge of the Bible and without obedience to his commands in the Bible, Jesus is not really the head of the church as he's supposed to be. So for him to be the head, there has to be the knowledge of what he said as well as obedience to what he said. And if a church isn't give the knowledge of what the Bible says, they can say all they want about Jesus being the head, but he's not the head. It's just a figurehead. You have to have the knowledge of what he said. All the Word of God. And it has to be taught to be obeyed. That's what the New Testament church is about. Teaching them to observe all things. Now, we're trying to catch the spirit of a New Testament church. We're trying to get rid of the phony church. We're trying to get rid of phony Christians. We're trying to restore what the Bible says a real church is. And the headship, well, it's probably a big thing, isn't it? Right? Head. What's the headship? Okay. So, the headship involves important principle, the principle of, number three, discipleship. This idea of knowing the commands and obeying the commandments, this is to be a church-wide characteristic that Jesus is the head. How's it going to be a church-wide characteristic that Jesus is the head? The church admits members who are committed to the headship of Christ. This is the whole idea of baptism. You add members who have committed themselves as disciples. Ones who will continue to follow Christ no matter what the cost. Let's turn to a couple passages. Well, we're in Matthew chapter 28. So let's look at this verse. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. All right? Well, the word teach there is the word methete, which is the word what? Disciple. Disciple all nations. Then you baptize them. Disciples. Okay? So let's go to John 4:4, and we'll see that same principle. John 4 and verse 4. Now we're talking about the headship of Christ. Why is it that so many churches, Jesus isn't the head? Because the principle of discipleship has been lost. John 4:4, it says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard, what did they hear? That Jesus made and baptized more disciples. He made disciples and then he baptized disciples. Now, what is a disciple? John 14, verse 20, Luke 14, and verse 23. What is a disciple? Let's get a Bible definition. Well, probably 14:33 is a pretty good one. What is a definition of a disciple? And in this passage of Scripture, we have three times where it gives us the qualifications of a disciple. If you don't do this, you cannot be my disciple. If you don't do this, you cannot be my disciple. If you don't do this, you cannot be my disciple. And the last one's a pretty good summary, verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? That means that you have to decide that there's nothing going to come in the way of you following Jesus. There's nothing going to come. You don't know what it is. I mean, it could be anything, right? I remember Mr. Simonson, April 7th, 1978. He gave his life to, he was saved February, gave his life to the Lord April 7th, 1978. And went forward, and Monday he called his mom, and he said, "Hey, Mom, I'm looking forward to come up to your place on Friday up there in northern Wisconsin." And Mom says, "Don't bother if you're going to talk about Jesus. Don't bother if you're going to talk about Jesus. If you want to come up here, you just forget that Jesus stuff." Well, Mr. Simonson came. We had revival meetings that week. That night, Monday night, Mr. Simonson came. He was heavy heart, and he said, "Pastor, this is what my mom said." He says, "But you know what? I'm not giving up Jesus. I guess if my family says I can't come and see him anymore, I guess that's the way it is. But I'm not giving up Jesus." Well, the meetings were over on Wednesday, and Thursday he called up his mom, and he's just talking, and his mom says, "Hey, you coming up tomorrow?" She just forgot everything she said. She didn't forget what she said. God worked it out. Amen. You know what? Life is a test. Don't you know that? That's the problem, that people who find God's will by circumstances, they make a big mistake. No, circumstances are the last thing that you do to find God's will. You go by the Bible first. Circumstances are last. And he decided he was going to follow the Bible. And God worked out the circumstances. But a disciple. Okay? And so that's the idea of a church member. You know, if you have church members who are not intent on obeying God, then you have a church full of people who just decided that Jesus wasn't the head of this church. And then what do you have? Well, there's only one kind of church, and that's the one that Jesus is the head. So then now, all of a sudden you forgot having a church and you got some kind of social club. Right? Or something of that variety. So, the whole idea of baptism is adding members who have committed themselves as disciples. I'm going to obey the Lord. And you know, we live in a day in which there's so many Baptist churches that it's just a social club that it makes it hard to figure this out. Number four, as you can already say, this is not only a characteristic of a church as a whole, it has to be the characteristic of individuals. Every individual has to say, "Jesus is the head. Jesus is the head." Okay, so number four, this is to be an individual characteristic of every church member. This makes church membership quite serious. Quite serious. You know what? It's not as though a person who gets baptized has arrived. They just started. And there's a lot of growing to do. But you know what? It's about the heart. Amen? It's about the heart. It's about their heart. "I want to obey the Lord." Oh, there's a lot of growing. But that's their heart. So I want to obey God. So a prospective member must be fully aware that Christ is the designated head of the church, and such is essential for its true spiritual power. Why do churches lack power? Because in so many cases, Jesus is just the figurehead. He's not the head. Number five, the headship of Christ. Involves the surrender of your abilities. Surrender of abilities. Okay? So, yes, obey the commands, but surrender of our abilities. Okay, now let's look at a couple parables really fast here tonight. Luke 19, we have the parable of the pounds. And it's talking about the head gave to his servants abilities, gave him pounds. And he says, now I'm going to go and I want you to take care and use these pounds to increase my kingdom. So Luke chapter 19, verse 13, called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds. Who's a master of a servant? Lord, right? He's the head. The head said he delivered them 10 pounds and he said to them, occupy till I come. In other words, keep working with this. But his citizens hated him and sent a messenger after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Oh, wow. Isn't that an amazing statement? He's not going to tell us what to do with our abilities. And it came to pass that when he returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given his money, that he might know how every man had gained by trading. Okay? And then we know the whole parable. Then the first came and says, thy pound hath gained 10. One came and said, and he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And the second came, verse 18, the pound has gained 5 pounds. But then notice it says, the verse 20, and another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. Who? He didn't use his abilities for God. Notice the nice words that Jesus says for him. Verse 22, and he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I did not lay not down, and reaping what I did not know. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money unto the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury. Wow, he didn't have nice words to say about the person who did not surrender his abilities to his Lord. But you know what? We're in America, aren't we? We're in America. The purpose of our abilities is for us, right? For us, for our pleasure, for our comfort, for the American dream. No. It's for Jesus. So, if you're interested in really studying this, go to 1 Corinthians 12. It talks about all the abilities that God gives the people in a church, and it's what's it saying. Well, if I put it in simple saying, it's saying, you know what? It's saying that a person who's joining a church doesn't join a church to sit on the pew. A person joins the church, yes, to sit in the pew and to learn so they can obey, and so they can be fitted for what? Service. That's what our life's about, serving Jesus. And the headship of Jesus Christ is all about, one of the plain issues is that service. Okay, so now if you look at the Bible, what's interesting in the Bible is that people in the Bible, we have the example of people who took this seriously, took their abilities seriously. They used them for God selflessly. And what happened? You know what happened? God gave the church supernatural power. You read about in Acts chapter 2, under the persecution at Jerusalem, it says, verse 45, they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. Who gave them the favor with all the people? God did. Why? Because they were selfless. They took what they had and they said, we're going to use this for God. And you see the same thing at in chapter 4 of what what happened there, 32, the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. And verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection. Okay, they were one. They used everything they had for the Lord. And what happened? They got great power, spiritual power. Why? Because of the lordship of Jesus Christ. He was the head. Okay, he's the head. He's the boss. Okay, and okay. So number six is numbered wrongly, but I'm not a very good secretary. It says, of course, the headship of Christ in the church is seen by obedience to the Great Commission. What's the main thing? The main thing, carrying out the gospel and the Great Commission, going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Why did Jesus die? Why did Jesus die? So souls could be saved from hell, amen? So the Great Commission. You know, it's kind of like this, you know. You think of Abraham Lincoln, his mama. He died at 5 years old, and his mama said, told him, he told him two things. I can't remember both of them, but he said, his mama said, Abraham, Abe, don't ever drink a drop of liquor. Don't ever drink a drop of liquor. Those are the dying words of Abraham Lincoln's mother. And guess what? They meant something to him. And he never touched a drop of liquor. Now, the dying words of our Savior. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. The main thing, if Jesus is the head of the church, is that the main thing in our lives is to get out the gospel. Otherwise, he's not the head. Right? If you make the main thing the minor thing, the head has lost his headship, hasn't he? And so you think about what it says in Matthew 28, verse 18. He says, all power is given unto me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Well, the word therefore, power, is the Greek word exousia, which is the word authority. If we said it like that, all authority is given unto me. Go in all the world. Go ye therefore and disciple all nations. Well, there it is. Authority. You know, if you don't obey the authority isn't the authority. Amen? And headship means authority. You know, I was thinking about this today. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Is, you know, a real church, they're interested in reaching everybody. They're interested in reaching their own people. They're interested in reaching their enemies. They're interested in reaching every other kind of people. They're interested in reaching Chinese. They're interested in reaching Japanese. They're interested in reaching Polynesian. They're interested in reaching Indian. They are interested in reaching Pakistani. They're interested in reaching African. They're interested in reaching Arab. They're interested in reaching Jews. They're interested in reaching Europeans. They're interested in reaching South Americans. They're interested in reaching Canadians. They're interested in Americans. It says go into all the world. Isn't that the Great Commission? You know, I just think about that. There's a lot of church groups that never do anything outside of their own group. Nothing outside of their own group. In fact, you heard Brother Holland say in New Guinea, it was a miracle win of spiritual growth, and it is, that this one group of New Guineans that he was working with were willing to go to the next mountain and preach the gospel to New Guineans, their enemies. And you know what? That's only a tiny step in reaching all the world, isn't it? Right? But it just shows you how selfish we are as people. And how contradictory that is to the gospel. That our vision ought to be to reach every people group in the world because Jesus died for them all. Amen. And he loves them all, and we ought to love them all. Amen. That's a part of Jesus being the head of the church. He makes the rules. He's the boss. And we fit under that. And this is a great truth. Jesus is the head. Now, you think about this. This all of a sudden makes this really clear. If you put the New Testament church as what he's talking about, all of a sudden it becomes real personal. But, you know, if you try to throw this away and make this talk about the universal church, you know, everybody's kind of free. Yeah. All right. Yeah, he's the head. Oh, that's great. He's running everything. Yeah, don't have to worry about it. No. The headship is very practical, isn't it? And either he is really the head or he's just a figurehead. In a real church, Jesus is really the head. Now, you know, there's some real ingredients here. First of all, it's conversion. You know, the Bible says when you get converted, Jesus apprehends us. That means he gets a hold of us. Number two, it refers to the fact that as a Christian, we need to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Number three, it means that we need to surrender all we are. You know, our bodies, a living sacrifice, our abilities, and our time, our treasures, they're for God. And you know, the fact is we need to continually do that. We need to continually be doing that. It wasn't good enough you did it 25,000 years ago, you know. I know it wasn't ever then. But we need to continually do that. And then we need to recognize that every time we come to church, if we're acting like a Bible Christian, it's not about, well, let's put it, it's about finding out what he says and obeying him. That makes him the head. And that's both individual and that has to do with the church too. And you know, my greatest hunger of my soul is that our church can be a New Testament church. A church like the Bible. Isn't that your hunger? Our church be like the New Testament church? That's what they were like. And recognize that it all, one of the big things it focuses on is what? If he's the head, well, he said go into all the world. And that ought to be our focus of every people group in the world. Wanting to see, I'd love to have, wouldn't it be great to have every people group in the world here? Man, that'd be exciting, wouldn't it? They're all over. I think that's a real heart cry of my soul. Jesus the head. Is he really the head? starts in our heart. And maybe tonight there's some work that we need to do with the Lord about really, is he the head, or we tell him how he can be the head and when he can be the head, and how he's supposed to run it. Now, that's kind of like we're the head and we tell him what to do. Let's pray. Lord, pray you'd bless the truth of the Word of God. Bless our prayer time. Lord, help us even now in the quietness of this moment, Lord, to be honest with ourselves. Is Jesus really the head of this church? Do we really want to obey the Bible? We really want to do what God says? Do we want to interpret the Bible and throw it away because it doesn't fit our lifestyle? Do we want to make our life conform to what you said? Do we really want the blessing that would come when you could say that Jesus is in charge of everything? Wow. Jesus is in charge. We do what he says and how to do it and where to do it, and gladly so. And so, Lord, may it be so in Jesus' name.